Well, writer and broadcaster Ali Varenti is very much a part of the sandwich generation, with a young son and a mum in her 80s. And it's a call that you expect, but one that you dread. An older parent collapses, a fall, a loss of consciousness, maybe a stroke or cardiac issues, it's not clear. When bacterial meningitis struck writer and broadcaster Ali's octogenarian mother, Ali suddenly found herself accompanying her in an ambulance to the local hospital, and then she spent the best part of 2 weeks, day and night, by her mum's side. And as a result, Ali observed and became a part of a strange environment. It's a whole other land, the land of the hospital. Here's Ali.
My 83-year-old mother is in hospital. I sat in the front seat of the ambulance, my mum's handbag and a pair of slippers in my lap. This is it, I thought. This is the day it'll happen. This is the day my mother will die. What did we talk about when I saw her yesterday? Did we argue? Oh yeah, she told me to make sure I wore a greeny-browny silk scarf to the gig I was doing that night. And I'd suggested back that she stop telling me how to dress, given I was over 50 now. Then she'd said that at my age I should always wear a nice scarf because your neck will always give you away, no matter how well you take care of yourself. The ambulance driver tried making conversation with me, but all I could hear was the other ambo in the back with Mum. "Can you hear me, love?" he asks her. "Does she speak English?" he asks me. "Yes, very well," I tell him. "Her English is better than mine. She corrects my grammar and she reads voraciously, and she was an English teacher and she's very smart and independent and..." It must have been her Italian surname. "We're taking you to the hospital now, love. Your daughter's here. Mum, I've got your bag." Like she cares about her bag. I'd expected to sit in the back of the ambulance with her, you know, holding her hand reassuringly. But they don't let you do that in real life, apparently. So I'm sitting up front and the driver's asking me something again, but I can't make out what she's saying. This is one bumpy, noisy and fast ride. I realise I've brought the wrong slippers. These ones have had it, she reckons. When I'd gone to Mum's yesterday to pick her up for our daily walk in the botanical gardens, she'd said she felt too tired to walk. I tried to cajole her into getting dressed. Sometimes one of us is too tired or too low, so one usually convinces the other to snap out of it. "Everything's always better after a walk, Mum," I'd said to her yesterday. "Come on, the blossoms are out and everything. Get out of the chair and off your bum." I spend the next 12 hours with Mum in the emergency department of a large regional hospital. At one point, about 3 hours into the wait for triage, she and two other elderly lady ducks are all lined up on their trolleys against the wall in the corridor like, well, like ducks, all flying high with delirium. Mum tells me to put a clean singlet on my sister, who would have been in her late 40s if she was still alive. I offer some water to another woman, who takes the paper cup in her paper white hand and calls me Patrick. My mother's staring up at me, and I have never seen this expression in her eyes before. Startled, unrecognising, blazing. "Does she know who I am?" I ask the ambo, who's been waiting with me all this time. "Love," he almost shouts at her. But then it's so noisy in emergency, so much beeping and buzzing, talking and dashing about, that maybe she just couldn't hear me early when I'd been holding her hand and stroking her feathery silver hair. "Love, do you know who this is?" He's ushering me to her, closer now. Mum appears to nod and tries to speak, but nothing comes out. My friend is with me, and she's stayed a long time. She must have followed the ambulance and the car, but I hadn't really noticed her up until now. Eventually, we get moving. Mum is wheeled into a small area behind a blue curtain, and it's hard to stay close to her because so many people are around her now and asking questions, speaking about things I don't understand. She has a temperature of 105 and is muttering all kinds of sad and mad stuff. Every so often, she tries to leap off the trolley, so I hold her, steady her, cradle her in my arms to prevent her falling off the narrow wheelie bed and onto the hospital floor, ripping at all the tubes and leads. During the course of the night, I drink cups of tea and eat white bread sandwiches from those plastic triangle-shaped boxes. I wander the ward and overhear all sorts of things that should be private. Sick people, vulnerable people, doctors, nurses, cleaners, families, friends, we are all here. Compressed humanity up close and personal. Hospital is another country, and I've been living the hospital life for the past 22 days now. But although I am beginning to learn the language and to eat the food of my new country, I will never be accepted as a local. I will always be that middle-aged daughter who comes to see her sick mum every day and asks too many questions and doesn't stop tidying up and rearranging her bedding and flowers. She's like her mother, isn't she? I imagine the nursing staff saying. She speaks her mind and she's bossy. On good days, Mum and I talk and gossip, and on bad days, she just lies there, quietly furious and shocked with her recent and uncharacteristic descent into indignity and powerlessness. Handing over is not in my mum's DNA. Neither is being cared for. This large regional public hospital never stops. It seethes and functions like one massive and complex sighing, grieving, struggling, sucking, weeping, eating and purging single organism. The hospital is understaffed. There are not enough beds. The food is awful. The air is too warm. The nurses are too loud. The doctors either inexperienced and tentative or less entertaining versions of Doc Martin. Although some of them are so wonderful, you can't help falling in love with them just a bit. But everyone is run off their feet and working like dogs. In a recent quarterly essay, Dear Life on Caring for the Elderly, writer and doctor Karen Hitchcock observes, "All general medical departments are under enormous pressure to treat and discharge patients as soon as possible. They have such a large number of patients that extending each patient's stay by even a single day would cause emergency departments to choke up. However, elderly patients are complex and time is needed to offer them the care they need, to talk to them about their wishes, listen to their experiences of their illnesses, and together forge ways to make their lives bearable. To do well, patients need to eat, move, and remain mentally active in hospital. Three things the hospital environment specifically hinders. I don't know when Mum will be able to come home, but I know she will. Today she talked her head off about politics and Turnbull and all sorts of stuff and then asked that I take her credit card and go and pay her rates, wash her nighties, and buy myself a decent set of saucepans and a new greeny-browny Italian silk scarf."
Do that, Ali Varenti. Ali's mum is apparently now on the mend and almost back to her feisty self. Thank you so much, Ali, always sharing life as it is. And I so relate to Ali's piece today, catapulted into a hospital ward earlier this year with a sudden appendix removal. It was a whole other landscape, a whole other world, a whole other community. Hospital is indeed another land.